Now I see grace. Well, good morning and happy Easter. We are glad you're here today at Grace Point Church. So we welcome you and just want you to feel at ease, to be at ease. We're folks here who just love God. We love each other. We have some good times together. We help each other through some bad times. And we're hoping you'll be a part of our worship today. And one way we're going to start that is just ask you to stand where you are and just say hello to somebody next to you. Would you stand up with me, please, and just welcome somebody to Grace Point Church? I love to listen to children explain things. They have a very unique way of doing it. So let's watch some children talk about Easter. I don't know if I have anything more to say about Easter than that. It's good. It's good. I want to read some verses for you as we begin this morning that tells part of the Easter story. It's from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 7. The Sabbath was over, and it was almost daybreak on Sunday when Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb of Jesus. Suddenly, a strong earthquake struck, and the Lord's angel came down from heaven. He rolled away the stone and sat on it. The angel looked as bright as lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards shook from fear and fell down as though they were dead. The angel said to the woman, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was nailed to a cross. He isn't here. God has raised him to life, just as Jesus said he would do. Come, see the place where his body was lying. Now hurry. Tell his disciples he has been raised to life and is on his way to Galilee. Go there, and you will see him. This is what I came to tell you." Would you pray with me, please? God, the story of Easter happened a long time ago, but it still has positive, good, uplifting effects for us today. And I pray, Father, as we look at Easter, that you will help us to realize that Easter, the resurrection, gives us hope in every aspect of life. So bless us as we go forward in our time of worship, our music. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Shirt, Jason. I didn't know ZZ Top dressed like that. Probably all of us have at some point in time seen moldy things. Moldy bread, moldy cheese, tomatoes, cantaloupe. We've probably all had that stuff in our refrigerator, in the crisper. And we just happen to go back to it, and there it is. Mold led to the development of penicillin. The first nickname for penicillin was mold juice. Scottish bacteriologist Alexander Fleming accidentally discovered the antibiotic way back in 1928, and it's estimated that penicillin has saved over 200 million people from dying. Without its discovery and implementation, 75% of people today would not be alive because their ancestors would have succumbed to infection. 75% of us wouldn't be here. I don't even like to think about that. We needed the power of penicillin to protect us from disease and from premature death. And it seems a little strange to think that what most of us don't like, mold, has enough inerrant power to save 200 million lives. Today I want to talk to you about Easter and how the resurrection of Jesus can become power for you and for me a power that can change your life. Now, I hope you received a bulletin on the way in, and it has an outline. If you take the outline out, usually what I do in church is I make you fill it in. But my Easter present to you is I've already filled it in, but you can follow along as we go through the message. So the first question to ask is, what do you need power for? Have you ever needed to change your situation, but you felt powerless, or to change a relationship? How about a change in yourself? Or maybe you need power to stop a bad habit. Any of you ever have an energy crisis? You're just out of steam? Where do we get the power to continue on in life? Well, the resurrection power that we celebrate today, it's all about a power that can provide for us what we need to change our lives and to get through life. Paul talked about this. Paul's one of the apostles in the Bible. And look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul said this, "All I want is to know Christ and to experience," look, "the power of his resurrection." He said again in Ephesians 1:20, "I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe him. The same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead." So Easter, the resurrection of Christ, is the most powerful event in all of history. It proved Jesus is God. So how can this power, the power of Easter, how can it change your life? How can it change my life? I want to suggest it can change our lives in three different ways. Number one, the power of Easter can change our lives so that we have power to cancel our failures. I'm talking about your failures, your mistakes, your regrets, your sins. And when I say cancel, I'm not talking here about denying your past like it didn't happen. I'm not pretending, asking you to pretend that it never existed. To cancel means to eliminate, to neutralize, to offset. Have you ever been halfway through a project and wish you could start over? Anybody do that? We've all experienced that. I'm in that situation right now. I don't know, a few months ago, I told Libby I wanted to paint the bathroom. She said, "Don't, I don't think you'll get finished. We're busy, we got a lot going on. Just, you know." I said, "No, I want to paint the bathroom. I want to paint the bathroom." I got my paint, started at the baseboard, laid out my tape, started painting that baseboard, and I'm going, and it needed a second coat, so I went back around the second coat, started painting up the frame of the door, and got about here, and something got me distracted. And do you know I haven't been back to paint it again yet? Sometimes life is like that. We just wish we could start over again because we make mistakes. We have failures. We make bad decisions. And I wish we could just wipe the slate clean and start over. But do you know what God says about your past? God says it's unnecessary for you to go around beating yourself up about your past. God says you don't need to go walking around with a heavy load of guilt or hurts or memories about mistakes. Why? Why don't you have to do that? Look what Paul said in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 14. He said, "He, God, has forgiven all our sins," look, "and canceled every record of the debt we had to pay. Christ has done away with it by nailing it to the cross." The Bible says God has canceled all the records of our sin. Folks, this is good news. God has completely done away with our sins through what Jesus did for us on the cross. It was on the cross that Jesus was hung up for our hang-ups. He was punished so we wouldn't have to be punished. And because of what Jesus did, we could be forgiven for every sin that we've ever committed. We can even begin to have forgiveness for the sin that we're going to commit. Folks, Jesus didn't come to condemn you. He came here to change you, not condemn you. And because of the resurrection, there is power now available to cancel your past once and for all. Listen, folks, when God cancels your past, it allows you to get on with the present. Look at this verse in Romans 8:1. This is good news right here. Paul said this, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Did you hear that? None. When Jesus died on the cross, his last phrase was, "It is finished." That word means paid off. It means canceled. It's what they would do. They would stamp on your bill. When you pay a bill off, they would stamp it. Done. Finished. Over. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He paid for every mistake that I've ever made. He paid for every sin I've committed, and you as well. When he was dying on the cross, he took the punishment that we deserved. He took it upon himself. And he said, "I'm going to be punished for you, so you won't have to be punished any longer." Anybody here have siblings? Grow up with some siblings, maybe some nice first cousins or something, real close. And you know you did something and your mom and dad caught you. And probably this happened. Your sibling, younger, older, they just went up to your parents and they said, "You know what? I know my stupid brother and sister, whatever. I know they did this and they deserve to get punished. But you know what? I want you to punish me instead." That's happened to you, right? Yeah, no, not. But that's what Jesus did for us. We sin, we make selfish choices, and when Jesus was on the cross, he said, "God, I know I didn't do anything wrong, but I'm going to be punished for what they did wrong." And now there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, for those who've made a commitment to Christ. So we can stop crucifying ourselves. Jesus was crucified for us. No condemnation, we are forgiven. One man said to his friend, "You look depressed. What are you thinking about?" The guy said, "My future." The man's quick answer says, "Well, what makes it look so hopeless?" He said, "My past." Because of the crucifixion and because of the resurrection, because Jesus is who he claimed to be, our past can be forgiven. Now, you can't go back on your life and live it over. You don't get a new start. But in Jesus, anybody can start from now and make a new ending. It doesn't matter how well you start the race. What matters is how you finish. It doesn't matter how well you've been doing in life now. What matters is how are you going to end it? Going forward, the power of Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, allows him to cancel all of your failures, to forgive all of your sins, every last one of them. And you can finally say, "Wow, I'm free." What do you have to do? You don't have to do anything. It's free. Easter gave Jesus the power to forgive all of our failures, every last one of them. And number two, Easter, the resurrection, also gives us the power to conquer our problems. All of us have problems. It's part of life. If you don't have any problems, check your pulse. We all struggle, and the problem is, our problem is we try to solve them in our own power, in our own ways, and this is one reason we feel so tired and exhausted, because we're expending an enormous amount of energy trying to handle all of our problems by ourselves. But because of the resurrection of Christ, we can have power to conquer our problems with his help. Look at the next couple of verses out of Romans chapter 8, verses 35 and then 37. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or danger?" No. "In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us." The word conqueror is there. Webster says conquer means one who overcomes by gaining control. Many people feel like their lives are out of control. Many people have felt like that about life from the beginning. Sometimes we feel that way because life seems to be going at breakneck speeds, and all we can do is have a hard time negotiating the turns of life. And if we'd be honest, we'd admit sometimes we have just wiped out. On Saturday, April 11th, in 1970, James Lovell, Jack Swigert, and Freddie Hayes blasted into space at 2:30 in the afternoon aboard Apollo 13, hoping to be the third Apollo mission who would land on the moon's surface. Now, I realize SpaceX makes the Apollo stuff look, you know, very, very small. But on that day, 14 and a half minutes after liftoff, oxygen tank number two blew up, causing the number one oxygen tank to fail as well. 200,000 miles from Earth. James Lovell said that phrase we all know. Houston, we have a problem. You ever feel like you're on that rocket? I've got a problem. Every human being, everyone here can repeat those words. I've got a problem. We've got a problem. I have a problem. Even more true to life, we should say, I have problems. What kind of problem do you have right now? Maybe it's a chronic health problem that prevents you from enjoying life or stops you from feeling purposeful or productive. Maybe your problem resolves around a rebellious child, a teen who doesn't listen, not doing well in school. Maybe they're doing drugs. Or maybe your problem resolves around an unfit parent. Maybe they're way too hard on their kids. They're abusing them verbally, physically, not meeting their needs. Problems created because a spouse maybe was unfaithful and your heart hasn't healed yet. Maybe you're experiencing problems that stem from uncomfortable bouts with things you can't control like depression, anxiety, manic episodes. They've altered the way you had to live and you feel like you're just out of control. Maybe you have career problems wherein you were passed over with a promotion that you deserved or a job from which you were let go. Maybe there are problems of unexpected origin, like the way the doctor says, I need to talk with you. Can you come to my office? And it turns out to be bad news. How about the sad problem of now knowing that your spouse, parent, grandparent, in the latest stage or the last stages of dementia, and their stuff, and there's nothing you can do, and it's just hard. Maybe you struggle with spiritual problems. Things that have happened in your life, maybe you were abused or mistreated or by loved ones who are supposed to protect you and care for you, and you wonder, where is this loving, kind God when this was going on in my life? Where was he? Look what Paul says in Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, or danger? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Folks, if you let Jesus control your life, the Bible tells us here that nothing can ultimately devastate your life. No matter how dark or how hopeless things seem, God can turn it around. God loves to take crucifixions, turn them into resurrections in your life. And that's the truth we celebrate today. It's not that we're not going to have hard times, but God gets us through those hard times. Easter power cancels your past, helps you conquer your problems, and number three, Easter power is the power to change your personality. It doesn't matter what type of personality you have. There's always room for improvement. Let me ask you a question. What would you like to change about yourself? Let me put it another way. What would your spouse or girlfriend or boyfriend or brother or sister like to change about you? We'll get a more sobering understanding of ourselves if we think about that. What would your child or parent like to change about you? Maybe we'd get an accurate response. It reminds me of the one wife said about her husband. She said, my husband is so temperamental. He's 90% temper and 10% mental. I think he has some room to work there. Fill this in. It's just like me too. How would you fill that in? It's just like me to always be late. It's just like me to be moody or be insecure, or be lazy. It's just like me to be a workaholic. It's just like me to worry. It's just like me to not follow through with my promises. It's like me to make excuses or to get angry, to say things I regret saying. It's just like me to what? The good news is, folks, God has the power to change you. He has the power to change your personality. He uses a two-step process. First, our initial commitment to Christ is the beginning point when we start changing. That's the time when we ask Jesus into our lives and to forgive us and to take control of our lives. Look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. Folks, God wipes out your past. It's all gone, and you get a do-over. You get to start anew. It's what the Bible said. That's what it means when the Bible says you're born again. You get a brand new life. You get a clean slate. Paul says you become a new person inside. You're not the same anymore. A new life begins for you. That begins the process of change. It doesn't happen all instantly. It just doesn't, and you're just totally different. It takes time. Look what Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says. Paul wrote this. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but let God remake you so that your whole attitude of mind is changed. Folks, once you commit your life to Jesus, God begins the process of changing you from the inside out so that your whole attitude, your whole mind is changed. Now, it takes time. Because we need a lot of changing. But God has the power to do it if we ask Him to and we allow Him to. Now, one major obstacle for you allowing God to change your life is procrastination. Anybody here procrastinate? Oh, proud of it. Yeah, I see some of you are real proud. The rest of you are just procrastinating about raising your hands. I know we had more than two. Procrastination, putting it off till sometime in the future. Knowing what you could do today. And when we procrastinate with God, then change can't come our way. There's a story in the Bible. You remember the story about the plagues of Egypt? The nation of Israel had been under Egyptian control for a long, long time. And when God said, you got to let them go. If you don't let them go, I'm going to send some plagues your way. So God started sending plagues to the Egyptians. And it came to the plague of the frogs. Frogs overwhelmed their land. Frogs were in the water. They were all over the land. Frogs were in the food. Frogs were in the houses. The Bible says that there were even frogs in the beds of the Egyptians. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like frogs. I won't touch a frog. I won't. Just doesn't fit me. A couple few years ago, you know those little tree frogs? I don't even know what they're... Well, one of them got in my house, and he was just jumping around, just a little old thing. And my wife is saying, get him, Kevin, get him. I was like, you get him. I'm not getting him. I didn't know what to do. That frog peed on my floor. A little frog. He peed because he peed and jumped, and I could see it. I mean, it was really bothering me. So I finally manned up. I did what any good husband would do. I called my neighbor and said, would you come get my frog? He did. He came over and got it. Didn't laugh at me. Just got it and went on. Well, Pharaoh called Moses. And he said, all right, I don't like the frogs anymore. I'm going to let your people go. Pharaoh said, or Moses said, great, that's great. When? And Pharaoh finally said, oddly enough, he said, I'm going to let them go tomorrow. Now, there's a famous sermon written about this text called One More Night with the Frogs. Why would anybody want to stay one more night with the frogs? It made no sense whatsoever. Why would he do that? Why would Pharaoh do that when he didn't have to? Why would we put off change that would be positive in our life and we just say, I'll do it later, I'll do it later, I'll do it later? Why do we do that? I'm going to get my life right. I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to make a commitment to Jesus. I'm going to start going to a small group Bible study. I'm going to start having daily devotions. I'm going to start giving again. When? Why do we procrastinate about some of the most important things in life? Why would you want to spend one more night with the frogs when you can allow God now to change your personhood, possibly your situation? What are you waiting for? There's no better time than to ask God to change your life than right now. How do you do that? How do you allow Jesus to change your life? How do you allow God to make a difference in your life, in your personality, in your circumstances? It's not complicated. It's pretty easy. There's four things you can do. They're on your outline there. You can follow along. Number one, the first thing you do is you just admit that God hasn't had first place in your life, and you ask him to forgive you of your sins. God, you haven't been. I haven't turned my attention to you. I know I've sinned, and I haven't given you first place. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All you have to do is say, God, here's what I did. Forgive me. And God does. Secondly, you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins, and he arose again. That's what we're here for Easter. He came back to life. You admit that God hasn't had first place. You would believe that Jesus came to die for your sins and that he was raised up. You believe it. You accept it as true. And then number three, you accept God's free gift of salvation. Don't try to earn it. Don't try to work for it. You can't do that. You just accept it. You receive it. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. Folks, when you receive a gift, it's given freely. And when you give a gift, it's given freely, and the person receives it. If they try to pay you for it, it's no longer a gift. We don't pay God for the gift of forgiveness that he gives to us through his Son. We receive it. So you accept God's free gift of salvation. And number four, you invite Jesus Christ to come into your life and be the manager, the Lord of your life. Look what it says in John 1:12. To all who receive him, he gives the right to become the child of God. All we need to do is trust him to save us. All those who believe this are reborn, not a physical rebirth, but from the will of God. You admit that you've had sins, you admit you failed, you believe that Jesus died on the cross, and because he died on the cross, you can be forgiven, you accept that gift of salvation freely, and you invite Jesus into your life. Folks, because of the resurrection, Jesus has the power to cancel your past, to conquer your problems, and to change your personality. Let him do that. You can choose to do that right now, right here. All you need to do is ask him. Now, I want to pray a prayer with you, and I want you to follow along in your minds and your hearts. Maybe this is a prayer you're ready to say. As someone who's never made a commitment to Christ, maybe this prayer you're ready to say, God, come into my life. Maybe you've already made that commitment and your time is here now because you may want to say, you know what, God, I received you as my Savior, but now I just want to renew my commitment. I've kind of walked away and I just want to renew my commitment to you. So if you'd like to close your eyes and just pray this in your mind, in your heart, you can read along. God, thank you for sending your Son into this world so we could be forgiven. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross so our sins could be forgiven once and for all. And as much as I understand right now, I ask you to come into my life and take control of my life. Thank you for forgiving me. going forward, help me to learn about you, to love you, and to follow you. Thanks for my salvation this day. And God, I realize I made a commitment to you before, so this is kind of me saying, God, I renew my commitment once again. Now, if you pray that prayer, you prayed it in your mind, you prayed it in your heart. The Bible says if you had never received Christ before, he's in your heart now. Maybe as a Christian, you rededicated yourself to God. You just said, God, I just need to start kind of start over in my commitment. I know I'm your child, but I'm just thinking about this and wanting to recommit my life to you. There's power in the resurrection of Christ. It's the same power that can change your life if you want it to, if you will allow it to. In just a minute, we're going to have a time of response. In our church, we give folks an opportunity to respond to what God's been doing in their life. We realize that God's been working in all of our lives long before Easter came and long before we came into this building this day. He's been working in us, through us, on us. And now it's time to say, okay, God, here's what I think you're wanting me to do. Make that commitment to Christ. Renew my commitment. Maybe you need to just say, God, I want to do better about following you. And so you get recommitted to reading some Bible, to praying. We give you a chance to respond. Now, you can respond in a variety of ways. A couple of us are going to be standing down front. Sometimes our church members come down, and they just want us to pray with them, and we'll do that. Some folks will want to go over there to the cross. As you can see, there's a table with pen and paper over there, and there are already some things nailed to the cross. Some of our folks go over there, and they write down a praise, something they're grateful for. They write down a prayer request. They might write down a person's name. They might have their name, pray for me. And they'll just fold it and put it right on the cross. Now, anything you put on the cross is private. The pastors don't look at it. It stays there. It's your way of saying, God, I want this to be in your hands. We have stations around our church, one over here, one in the back there, and one in the back there that have communion. You're welcome to go there and have communion today if you'd like to do it. You can take the little pack, bring it back to your pew, and have that there. Some of you may want to fill out the Connect card. I hope you receive these in your bulletin. And on the back especially, there might be a prayer request you have or some boxes you want to check. The pastors only get this prayer request from you. We do see these, and we pray for you. We pray for your prayer request, whatever that might be. If you'd like to give us your name and information on the front, do so. So today, either during our response time or as you're going out, there's some white boxes that you'll see. Drop them in the white boxes, and then the pastors will get this information from you. Now, many folks during our response time stay right where they are, and they might want to just think, they might want to pray, they might want to sing the music with the band. So we want to give you an opportunity to do this. So if you're with us for the very first time, our folks may start moving around. That's okay. And if you want to stay still, that's absolutely okay. All right, let's pray together. God, I want to thank you because Easter changes things and it can change our lives. I want to pray, Father, that you'll help us to engage Jesus, your son, maybe for the first time. Maybe, Lord, for a recommitment and saying, God, I'm saved. I know I'm your child, but I haven't been doing some things that help me grow, and I just want to renew my commitment to you. God, there are people here who are struggling, people who are hurting, people who are in circumstances where they need intervention. And I pray you'll give them that. So, Father, during our time of response, we just ask you to help the message of the resurrection, of the Easter resurrection, to realize and to help us understand that we can have the power that we need in life that comes from you. So bless our time of response now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
What a great crowd today. Thank you, folks, for coming out. Many of you have invited others. Some of you sat down near the front. Folks, if you want to see the back row, look down here on the front. That's where they usually sit. And hope you fill out that little connect card. That's how you share our, we get you an email list and so forth. You have in there a small group list. Now, this is a list that might grow. There might be other groups starting, but we'd love for you to be a part of a Bible study group. That's really how you get to know one another. And check these out. And I know there's a brand new one starting on May the 7th, a little pink invitation there with that as well. I was also told if you purchased a lily, take those with you. Otherwise, Pastor Kevin has to take all the rest of them. Is that right? Where'd he go? He's over here. Wow. You don't want them, do you, Kevin? No, he doesn't. So take the, you bought one, take it with you. And also, one other little thing, it's not on the list there. Well, James Island Outreach is coming up on the 29th. That's where we provide food for our community. You can be a part of that and help us out with that. Graduation is coming up, and we didn't put this in there, but if you have a graduate in your family associated with our church, we want to honor them. So be ready in the next few weeks. We'll be getting those names ready to go. So, all right. Amen. Well, I tell you what, take that joy with you. Somebody said they'll know the tomb is empty when they see your heart is full. So take that joy with you as you go. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this wonderful Easter celebration. The music, the message, the challenge, the gift of salvation that you give us. The life-changing power of Easter. Lord, I think as we go from here today, we're going to run into people that are hurting. Help us be your witnesses, your missionaries as we go from this place. We love you, we thank you, Lord, and we thank you for Easter. We pray it in Jesus' name, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.